Maximum impact comes from what God provides rather than what you can produce. Maximum impact comes from what God provides rather than what you can produce. My name is Nico Williams, and I have the honor of serving as the lead pastor of Greenhouse Church. And I am so grateful to be here with you guys this morning because you guys actually partnered with me and the Greenhouse Church last year as we launched Greenhouse Church in September of 2025. As a matter of fact, you guys put this in your impact report. If you haven't got a chance to check that out, I would encourage you to do so. But I am so thankful and excited to be here. Because we launched our church and our church meets at night, I have the opportunity to be here this morning. We meet at 5 p.m. every Sunday, and so Pastor Matt asked me to come and speak a word. I said, hey, I'm coming. I'd love to continue to build on the partnership that we've already built, and so I'm thankful to be here. Maximum impact comes from what God provides rather than what you can produce. When I was a kid, I used to sit and dream about the kind of man I was going to be when I grew up. And I wanted to be a great man. I wanted to be a great man who did great things. Things so great that people would write about me in history books. I recognize that is a display of my pride coming out. A display of the sin of my wicked heart. Maybe you don't have a desire to be in a history book, but if I had to guess, you have a desire to make an impact in this life as well. Y'all, this world pretty much convinces you that the way that you make maximum impact comes from what you produce. The things that you do, the way that you're able to contribute to the world. But in actuality, maximum impact comes from what God provides. And as a result, our main idea for today is that Jesus multiplies our meager offering for maximum impact. Jesus multiplies our meager offerings for maximum impact. Everybody say multiplies. As a matter of fact, the passage that we're going to look at today, it might be familiar to you if you've been around the things of God for a considerable amount of time. We're looking at John chapter 6, where Jesus feeds the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. If you're new to the faith, you're new to Bible study, or you're just exploring things, you're just checking things out, I just invite you to buckle up because this is a classic story of what Jesus does when we give to him what we have. So let's look at John chapter 6, starting at verse 1. It says this: after this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Verse 4 says, now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand, and lifting up his eyes then, and seeing a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. Will you go to God in prayer with me? Father, I need you in this moment. God, I am relying on the strength of your power to preach this word. And so, God, I need you to open up people's ears that they might hear what you have done in Jesus Christ. Open up people's eyes that they might see what you have done in Jesus Christ. Open up people's hearts that they might experience, maybe even for the first time, what you have done in Jesus Christ. Give us enough faith to believe that you will multiply what we give to you. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Point number one, the obstacle of impact. Everybody say obstacle. An obstacle is something that gets in the way. What we see here is that Jesus has a desire to provide for the crowd, but there's an obstacle in the way. Before we get to the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000, I just want to uncover why Jesus wants to do it in the first place. As we read, Jesus had been going around, he'd been teaching, he'd been preaching, he'd been healing the sick, and the crowds were starting to come to him. Verse 5 says that Jesus lifted up his eyes and he saw the large crowd that was coming toward him, and then later on he asked Philip, where can we go to buy bread? You know what's interesting? This is a fun fact. There is only one miracle outside of the resurrection that is recorded in all four of the Gospels of Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that one miracle is this one, feeding of the 5,000. As a matter of fact, in the book of Mark, Mark gives us a picture as to why Jesus wants to provide for the crowd. Chapter 6, verse 34 says this, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion. Everybody say compassion. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Y'all, the reason Jesus had a desire to feed the 5,000 was because A, he saw the people as lost sheep. And B, he saw himself as their shepherd. Jesus's motivation for making an impact in this way was driven by compassion for the people in the crowd. I'm pretty confident that you guys have a desire to make an impact in your life. Like, maybe you're not as sinful or prideful as me. You don't want to be in a history book. But you have a desire to live a life that meant something, that makes a difference. Maybe you have a desire at the end of your life. You want to say, hey, I lived a life that mattered, that impacted the people around me, my friends, my family, maybe my children. But I can go ahead and tell you right now, if the impact that you want to make is not motivated by a godly ambition, not motivated by a desire to serve those around you, then you can make an impact, but one day that impact is going to fall flat. Maybe you're kind of like me. You want to make the kind of impact that people will know your name. Guess what? Your name will one day be forgotten. Maybe you will do something great with the 70 years of your life, but you just need to know in another 70 years, somebody is going to come and they're going to top what it is that you did. As I was praying about this whole idea about my pride, I'm just bringing this to the Lord. I just confess that to the Lord. I said, Lord, I do have a desire. I do have this ambition that people would know me. They would know my name. And I'm praying about this thing. The Lord led me to a question. Let me ask the question. So what happens if they do know your name? What would happen? As I thought deeply about that, it dawned on me that, man, it might make me feel good. I might be validated by history. But at the end of the day, not much happens if people know my name. Not much about their life changes if people know my name. And then he led me to ask another question. What happens to other people if people knew the name of Jesus? How might their lives change if they knew Jesus's name? See, because when people know Jesus's name, they have an opportunity to meet with the God who created the world. They have an opportunity to be set free from sin and shame and pain and grief. They have an opportunity to be set free from death. That's what happens when people know the name of Jesus Christ. So maybe you're not like me, maybe you are like me. I just want to let you know that if your ambitions for impact are not motivated by a godly desire, they're not motivated by a desire to serve other people, your impact will one day fall flat. So back to Jesus. Here is Jesus. He's motivated by this compassion for his lost sheep. He has this desire to make an impact in those who are listening to his teaching. But there is an obstacle in the way. Everybody say obstacle. The thing that prevented Jesus the shepherd from providing for his sheep was resources. Listen. You are probably in a position where you're like, hey, I do want to make an impact. And maybe you are recognizing, maybe you got a little bit of personal ambition or whatever. And you're just like, you know what? I do want to make an impact. But for me to make an impact, I recognize there's a gap between what I have to give and what can make an impact. There's a lack of resources there. But there's Jesus. And Jesus is the Son of God. Nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is impossible for him. And so he looks at Philip and he asks the question. He says, Philip, where can we go to buy bread? Now, some scholars say that Jesus was specific in asking Philip about this because Philip is from this area. And the Bible says that Jesus already knew what he was going to do. He did this to test Philip. And in testing Philip, we actually get a little bit of context. Philip, he does the quick math. He's like, oh, no, yeah. If we had 200 denarii, which, by the way, a denarii is just one day of work, one day's wage. If we had 200 denarii, we wouldn't even have enough for people to get a little bit. What this is revealing to us is the impossibility of this situation. But when we take what we have and we give it to Jesus, Jesus multiplies it for maximum impact. Look at the next passage of scripture with me. Verse 8 says this. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. And Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he had distributed to them those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost." So he gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from 5 barley loaves by those who had eaten. Here's the second point. The offering for impact. Everybody say offering. In the passage that we just read, Andrew realizes the situation that they are in. Y'all, Andrew is like many of you in the room. He is a realist, okay? I'm not like Andrew. I'm a dreamer, okay? Andrew, he sees the situation that they're in. He's like, listen, I see that we got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, but really, what are they going to do? What are they going to do for so many? I am on the other side of that spectrum. I look at the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, and I'm like, oh, what can they do? There's Andrew. Bringing the realism of the reality of the situation. But in contrast to Andrew and his realism is the faith of this little boy. This little boy who offered his 5 loaves and his 2 fish, he didn't ask that question. He wasn't asking, what can these little things do? He simply, in faith, gave to Jesus all that he had, and he left the rest up to him to do with it what he wills. If you come to a church like City Light long enough, some people are going to start asking you some questions. They're going to start asking you, would you be willing to start being generous with your time and your talent and your treasure? Would you start coming around and start serving? Would you take what God has given you by way of talent and apply it to the kingdom of God right here at City Light Church? Would you even begin to give your money? This is what it means to be a generous person, that you would give your time and your talent and your treasure away. And maybe you're like Andrew. You ask a similar question. You look around at the beauty of this church and you see the talent and you see how people are serving and they're giving, and you might ask the question, what can what I have to give do? How can I make an impact? But the thing that you need to know and remember is that Jesus multiplies our meager offerings and maximizes them for impact. When we give to Jesus what we have, he will be the one to multiply it. The boy gave what he had, and 5,000 people were not just fed. The Bible says that they were filled. And not only were they filled, but there was extra left over. When you give to Jesus what you have, he will multiply it for maximum impact. So, I've been using this word multiply. What does the word multiply mean? Maybe you are a math scholar. You know the difference between addition and multiplication. Addition is when you have one of something and then you add more to that thing. Multiplication, you might have grown up thinking multiplication is like repeated addition. That's not exactly what I'm getting at here. Let me see if I can give you an example to show you the difference, okay? What I have in my hand here is a block, okay? If I want to add one block to this block, I would have how many blocks? 2. If I take my 2 blocks and I add one more block to this 2 blocks, I would have how many blocks? 3. Now, if I wanted to multiply, matter of fact, can you bring me my multiplication box? In the passage that we just read, actually, in the passage that we read, it would be addition if the bread and the fish, somebody brought more bread and fish. That's addition. But multiplication is when you take what you already have and you make it into something more. Let me give you an example. This is my multiplication box here. If I take this one block and I put it in my multiplication box, it will multiply by a rate of 3. One for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. Okay, so if I put this one block in and I multiply it by a rate of 3, how many blocks are coming out? 3. That's exactly right. Y'all are smart. 1, 2, 3. Now if I take these two blocks and I put it in my multiplication box, how many blocks are going to come out? 6. Some of y'all in college, huh? That's good. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is what multiplication looks like. The young boy gave his fish and his bread, and God took that and he multiplied it, and more came out of what it is that was given. You know, the church that I lead is actually an example of multiplication. As a matter of fact, Greenhouse Church, I was at our sending church for about 10 years. 10 years I participated in that church. About 6 of those 10 years, I knew that God had called me to lead a church. And so they invested in me. They trained me up. And they said, hey, we want you to get as many people as you can convince to go with you across the street, as a matter of fact. And so we got an opportunity to plant a church in the same city as our sending church. Now, this is multiplication. One church becomes two. You know what it wasn't? It wasn't a church split. That's division. What this church did is they said, hey, we think that you have what it takes. We believe that you got the calling. We believe that you are gifted to do this. And so we want to raise you up and send you out with people and in finances and in resources so that this one church could become two churches. Not division, multiplication. As a matter of fact, we believe in the same thing. Matter of fact, you believe in the same thing. I mentioned this already. Y'all have partnered with us to plant this church. As a matter of fact, I believe you are partnering with another church plant, Declaration Church and Travis Suits, and they're going to Bowie's Creek. And so our church has made a commitment, kind of like this young boy. We're not looking at our small church of people and saying, hey, what can we do for the kingdom of God? We are taking what we have and we're committing it to the mission so that more churches can be multiplied so that the kingdom of God can be expanded. When we take what we have and we give it to Jesus, we allow him to multiply it for maximum impact. So we talked about the obstacle for impact. We talked about the offering for impact. And now I want to show you what happens when Jesus multiplies our offering. Look with me at verse 14. Verse 14 says this: when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, this indeed is the prophet who has come into the world. Point number 3, the observation from impact. Everybody say observation. After Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he multiplied them so that there was more than enough for 5,000 people to eat, there was an observation that the people made. When this little boy gave his small offering to Jesus, Jesus multiplied it, and the people saw the sign, and they said, this indeed is the prophet that has come into the world. The prophet is different from a prophet. A prophet is someone who receives the word of God, and then they share what God had given to them. That's a prophet. I want you to think about people like Moses. I want you to think about people like Elijah, Ezekiel. But the people, they're drawing connections. They're saying, hey, this is not a prophet. This is the prophet. What they're actually thinking about and they're drawing a connection to is something that Moses said before. Matter of fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, it says this: the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Verse 18 says, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I commanded them. What the people are doing is they're looking at what Jesus has done, and they're saying, oh man, this must be the prophet that Moses was talking about. He must be the one. The problem is, prophet is not enough to describe who Jesus is. See, Jesus is a prophet, priest, and king, and he has come to save the world from their sins. Here's my point in drawing your attention to all of this. When we are generous to Jesus' mission, others recognize Jesus' power. When you take your time and your talent and your treasure and you give it to a church like City Light Church, other people around in the community, people who come to this church, they will say, "My God, there is a God in heaven who loves me and his name is Jesus." Maybe you're sitting here today and you struggle with this kind of generosity. You come in and you enjoy the worship and you enjoy the word of God, but you have failed to give your time and your talent and your treasure to City Light Church. I can understand why. You think to yourself, if I give up my time, what will happen to me? I have to get here earlier. That means I have to lose some sleep. I might have to jump into a kid's classroom. What will happen to me if I give up my time? Maybe you're asking the question, what will happen to me if I give up my talent? Are they just going to use me up? Maybe you're asking the question, what will happen to me if I give my money? What will happen to me if I give away what I have worked hard to earn? See, if you're asking those questions, those are the wrong questions. Let me tell you the right question to ask. If I am not a generous person, who might not get to see Jesus if I fail to be generous? Who might not have an opportunity to experience the life-changing message of Jesus Christ if I fail to be generous? Listen, when you jump in, and you give your time and your talent and your treasure, let's just say what you're serving. When you jump in with your serving, especially in something like kids ministry, let me tell you what happens. You're actually doing double duty, okay? When you give your time and your talent and your treasure to something like kids ministry, guess what happens? People who have kids get an opportunity to come in here and hear the word of God in an undistracted way. If you got kids, you know what I'm talking about. They're asking for a snack. They're pulling on your pants leg. Can I see your phone? But in the kids' ministry, guess what happens? Not only do parents get to worship in an undistracted way, but now the kids get an opportunity to hear a message on their level. And so as we're about to jump into the Easter season, I want to call you to consider maybe giving your time and your talent and your treasure to a church like City Light Church. Because when you jump in, you create the opportunity and environment for somebody to meet with Jesus and their life can be transformed. When you give to a church like City Light, it creates opportunities for discipleship to happen. You get to partner with churches like Greenhouse Church. You get to go on mission. You get to invest in college students. You get to invest in the people of this church like dads and fathers and men. When you jump in, you create an opportunity for somebody to grow in their walk with Christ. When somebody sees how this church works together, cooperates for the mission of Christ, I'm praying what it leads to is somebody saying, this indeed is a church that has been changed by Christ. There is a God in heaven who loves me, and his name is Jesus. So this leads us to our application. Supply the offering and let Jesus maximize it. Supply the offering and let Jesus maximize it. Everybody say maximize. You could be like Andrew, the realist in the room. And you could ask the question of, what is my little gift going to do when this world is so lost and so broken? What is my little gift going to do for a church like City Light when there is so much talent? What is my gift going to do? Or you could be like the little boy who had the heart posture of simply giving to Jesus all that he had. It's not really on us to try and figure out what God is going to do with it. See, if you got a realist's heart, maybe you're even like Philip. You got the ability to calculate things pretty quickly, A lot of y'all did with the multiplication exercise, so kudos to you. Maybe you'd look at your gift and the things that you have and you say, this gift can make this kind of impact. If I give this amount of money, it's going to make this amount of impact. If I give this amount of time, it's going to make this amount of impact. Wrong thing. Wrong thing to be thinking about. Really what you should do is you should take your gifts and you should give them to Jesus and you let him worry about how he's going to multiply them for the maximization of his kingdom. As a matter of fact, Jesus uses this miracle as a proof that he has come into the world to save sinners. Like the very next day, after Jesus had fed the 5,000 and there's extra and everybody's filled up, the very next day, those same people, they come to Jesus and they're asking him to do the same thing again. Jesus looks at them and he condemns them. He says, you're not looking at me. You're not coming to me because you saw the sign that pointed you to know that I was the prophet. You're coming to me because you want to be filled again. And so Jesus, he actually says, hey, I want to give you something deeper. I want to give you something better. As a matter of fact, verse 35 says this, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, I am better than the bread that I provided yesterday. I'm the bread of life. The bread that you ate yesterday is going to come in your body. It's going to go out your body. But if you believe in me, if you trust in me, I am going to be your satisfaction. See, you've been looking at all these other things and you know they do not satisfy. The things that you're looking in and taking in with your eyes, the things that you're taking in with your mouth, the things that you are looking for satisfaction from, Jesus is, he's saying, you know, I want to give you something that satisfies totally and completely. And it's me. Jesus is saying, it's me. I want to give you eternal life. So as I'm landing the plane on this sermon, I want to call everybody in this room to take a next step. Maybe you came into this room and you knew you were not a Christian. You're not a Christian yet. That's okay. I just want you to like consider some of the things that we're talking about. You want to make an impact? Yeah, you probably could. You could probably do some really great things. But in 70 years, it's all gone anyway. You want to make an impact that changes the world? It starts not by giving your talents away, not by giving your time away, not even by giving your money away. If you want to make an impact that changes the world, it starts by giving your very self away. It starts by saying, and you probably realize this already, it starts by saying, what I am, what I can produce, it's not enough. You're saying, hey, I need to give up who I am and what I'm doing, and I need to give myself to Christ. And you, if you give yourself to Christ, Jesus will multiply your gift of yourself to him and surrender. See, this is what it means to believe in Jesus. This is what it means to become a Christian. It means, hey, what Jesus did on the cross counts for me. And the reason that you're willing to give yourself up is because you've looked at how generous God was to you. See, Jesus was up in heaven. And he was enjoying the love of his father. And he was loving his father perfectly. But he looked down from his throne in heaven and he saw you. And he saw that you were stuck in the cycle of your same sins and your past and all these things that are not satisfying. And he says, you know what? I will give my time and my talent and my treasure so that you can be reunited to God. If you're here today and you want to place your faith in Jesus, man, please do it. I'll be here at the end of the service. I'd love to talk to you about that. I know that the leaders of this church would love to talk to you about that. You need to give the entirety of yourself away, not just so you can make impact. Yes, that's a side effect. So that you can know the one who created the world, who sets you free from your sin. Maybe you're in the room and you have placed faith in Jesus and you've been walking with him for some time. I want to call you to take a next step as well. At Greenhouse Church, I try to say all the time that discipleship is a series of next steps. One of the things I think that prevents us from getting going in the first place is we just have in our minds that the way we start is actually like we got to be as good as we're going to be when we finish. So we just never start. Jesus doesn't call you to that. He just calls you to take the very next step. Wherever you are, just want you to take the very next step. And so I created some language at Greenhouse Church to give people a pathway when we're talking about generosity, specifically talking about generosity of money. The pathway is test, tithe, and tether. Maybe you have never given a single cent to a church to support God and his kingdom expansion. I want to encourage you to test God in this. There's like one place in the Bible where God says, test me. It's Malachi chapter 3. He's talking to one of his prophets. And he's saying, listen, test me in this. Bring the full tithe to the storehouse and see will I not open up the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing. Yeah, we don't give to receive a blessing. But Jesus, God is saying, listen, if you want to test me, go ahead, do it. And so I want to encourage you. Maybe you've never given a single cent to God in his kingdom. Maybe, what does it look like for you to give something? To be generous with something. Maybe you had decided you were going to get a coffee on your way out the door. What if you just decide, I'm going to take the money, the same money I was going to buy a coffee with, I'm going to give it to God and his kingdom. Maybe you have given to God once or twice before, but it's nothing regular. I want to call you to tithe. A tithe, it just comes, the root of that word means tenth. A tenth of what you have of your first fruit and offer it back to God in a regular, rhythmical way. If City Light is your church and Pastor Matt, he labors to bring you a word every Sunday and you come and this is your church and you're not giving to God, back to God and his mission in a rhythmical way, I want to invite you to consider that. Tithe. Doesn't have to be 10%. Could be more than 10%, could be less than 10%, but just something that's regular. Third step on that pathway is tether. Tether your heart to the kingdom by giving over and above. Man, I'm not asking anybody to go broke here, okay? But I am saying, if you have some margin in your life and a need arises, and you're like, hey, I actually can step in and help provide this. Because you're not trying to calculate, how is it going to make this impact? What's it going to do? What's it going to mean for me? No. You're asking the question, who can know Jesus because of what I give? I just want to encourage everybody to take a next step. I mentioned this earlier. Easter's coming up. What does it look like for you to jump in for Easter? Because who might walk in this door and have an encounter with Jesus because you decided to give what you have and put it in the hands of Jesus so that he can multiply it for impact. Our meager offerings, put it in the hands of Jesus. He multiplies it for maximum impact. Will you guys go to God and pray with me? God, I thank you for the gift of your word. God, I thank you for the gift of your word that when we open it, you choose to speak. You don't have to, but you choose to. So we say thank you, Lord. God, I pray for those in this room who walked in here and they were not a believer and they were not surrendered to Jesus. But God, I pray that today would be the day that someone not just gives away their time, talent, and their treasure, but they would give you their very life, Lord, that they may know you. God, I pray against the spirit of stinginess. I'm going to hold on to my time. I'm going to hold on to my talent. I'm going to hold on to my money. I pray that you would break through in this moment and that the people in this room, they would confess the sin of stinginess and they would walk and operate in a spirit of generosity because of how you have been so generous to us. You are the bread of life. You are the one who brings satisfaction to our lives. And so, God, I'm asking you to do it. I pray you would do it for your name. In Jesus' name, amen.